Welcome to the STAR Coalition podcast. My name is Luke Kramer, Executive Director of the STAR Coalition. We're glad that you've stopped for a few minutes to spend some time with us. We love to occasionally sit down and chat with some of the greatest minds in advocacy, research, and treatment of those living with central nervous system disorders, such as schizophrenia and bipolar and depression, and other indications. And today, I'm very excited to have with us Marcia Rogers. She currently works for Pillar Clinical Research down in Texas, kind of as a community liaison and out working in the community to talk about research and kind of build a bridge between research and our communities. She has a background in business, advocacy, and mental health. Matter of fact, she worked for NAMI for almost 12 years and was the executive director of NAMI North Texas for the last 5 years before she joined Pillar Research. And today she joins us. Thank you, Marcia, for being here.
Thank you so much, Luke. It's great to be talking with you.
So the first time you and I had a conversation was years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, when we were approached by Pillar wanting to kind of build a relationship with advocacy in the community. Having worked in mental health for many years before I started this nonprofit, I didn't know a lot about research. You know, when we started having our first initial conversations, what was your knowledge base of clinical research, and how did that translate maybe into the conversations that we were having and you were having with researchers in your community?
You know, I would say that I had next to no exposure to mental health research, but my overall perception of research kind of in general had always been positive, with the understanding that that's how progress happens, but did not really understand what that meant for mental health, and was always very protective of the individuals and families that I worked with as an advocate. So you could say there was, you know, some apprehension, but also with a strong interest in becoming educated, because if there was something out there, kind of a glimmer of hope for something better, how could we not want to learn more about that?
You know, working for the National Alliance for Mental Illness, which we know is really kind of the bedrock of advocacy across the U.S. as the largest advocacy organization, working with families and peers, did you hear a lot of talk about research from those individuals living with symptoms of mental illness or their loved ones? Was that a part of the conversation they were having?
You know, honestly, it really was not. Until you and I started talking about it, I had not heard sort of research in the narrative in mental health much at all.
We see in so many other indications, like cancer and heart disease and others, that research and advocacy really do walk hand in hand, but we really don't see that sometimes in the circles that we work within. Why do you think that is? Is it the stigma of mental illness? Is it the stigma of research? I mean, where do you see? Okay, tell me about it.
Yeah, I think it's both. But I also believe a part of the disconnect could be attributed to the provider's level of knowledge and awareness of research that is available, and, you know, how and when to have that conversation with a patient, which I think is kind of on us as researchers and sites to help bring that information to the provider community.
It's because that is a touch point, right? We kind of look where the touch points for individuals who are living with symptoms of mental illness, and their providers tend to be kind of at the core, right? At the center of a lot of the people that they rely on and trust. And we've talked about that before. What are the challenges with educating our providers about research?
Gosh, I think it's just developing the relationships, you know, reaching out, developing the relationships and providing whatever information that they will allow you to bring in. Do lunch and learns, provide a speaker, and just make sure that, you know, that there's an understanding that you're not there to take over treatment. You know, that you will refer those patients right back to their provider, and that we're just trying to advance medicine.
you know, you talked about that, the idea of us being very protective of those that we're working with or those that we're serving. I think it's very natural for us to only maybe give suggestions or educate on things that we're knowledgeable about. And if research is not a part of that conversation, I think it's only natural that we don't present that as an option to individuals. So obviously there's a lot of work to do in the communities that we're working in now. What are some approaches that now that you're kind of stepping into the research circles, and with your knowledge of how there was a learning curve for you as you moved into this area, as for me and as for many others who are kind of building that bridge between research and advocacy, what are some lessons that you took on how to approach perhaps advocacy or family members or others about research in a way that may be comfortable for them?
You're right. There was quite the learning curve. And I think approaching it as just an opportunity to educate, not as a recruitment tool, mm-hmm. but, you know, be aware that you may be met with a level of apprehension when approaching an advocacy group, just due mainly to lack of information. So I think kind of the best approach is just be a good community partner, you know, support the advocacy groups and be there to be the tool for education, support and sponsor community events, provide materials, you know, offer to provide a speaker.
So often I think that there is this expectation from research that, hey, this advocacy group, I need to go to them because I need X amount of people in this particular study. And they approach advocacy or they approach community mental health centers or treatment facilities in such a way of this expectation of them being a recruiting tool. How dangerous is that really with in that phase of building a relationship with those folks?
True. Yeah, I just don't see it that way. I think there may be plenty of individuals within those groups who are interested to participate in a research study, but you know, I believe it's our job as a researcher and as a site to once again just be there to provide information and education. I think, you know, research is a necessity for advancement, but you know, how the message is delivered is also very important. And I just believe you support the advocacy organizations, be active and present in the community, and be that link to information about, you know, what research is, what the process looks like, how to find a trial if and when the time comes. There's already enough stigma around mental health. I think it's our job to get the information out there, provide the facts, and destigmatize clinical research.
When we look at the stigma around mental illness, I think we can identify some things. Obviously, a lack of education and understanding. They say the best way that you get to become more familiar with things like mental illness is meet people that are living with symptoms, be with them, you know. And how, you know, what are some of those misconceptions that maybe you had before about clinical research, or you're hearing from families about clinical research that maybe could bust a myth or two?
Oh gosh, it's more about the lack of information, just kind of avoid the fear of the unknown. I mean, you do hear lab rat, you know, but as I talk to people now, it's more about, you know, I'm just scared. I don't understand. I don't know what it is. I don't know what will happen to me. I don't know how safe it is. Things along those lines.
And a lot of times, and we've had this conversation recently, even with other sites, is the idea of building trust in the community and trust in the partners that eventually you'll find in the community. How important is that? How important is trust in building these relationships?
It's everything. You need to be embedded in your community and develop relationships and just build that trust. And, you know, the patients will begin to understand that they have one-on-one access. They can build these relationships. They are volunteers in this process and can exit at any time. So I think it's just, you know, a matter of making someone feel comfortable and safe.
And How has your opinion personally changed about clinical research since you've gotten into working with Pillar?
You know, it's exactly that. It's the kind of individualized, the personal touch, the quality, just more education about the entire process, and that you will be watched closely, and you are a volunteer, and you are helping us, and we want to develop a strong relationship with you and protect you.
And how has your definition of being an advocate maybe broadened since you've met people within the research circle? I know that a lot of times we think of advocates as maybe those that are working for NAMI or Mental Health America or DBSA or others. But, you know, how has your definition of what an advocate is has changed since you've moved into the research circles?
You know, I think it's just expanded to, you know, add another tool to the toolbox. I do definitely see research as an additional tool now, where I might not have. So I think it's just another way to sort of educate and provide support.
You know, and I think there's a misconception too sometimes that research or biopharmaceutical companies or others are just in it for the money, that they have no interest in the person that it ultimately affects. Have you found that to be true, or is there you know, what is your what are some of your misconceptions about that have either been strengthened or broken since you started in this area?
You know, of course, I heard those same things, but my experiences have been very, very different. I'm still quite new to the industry, but I've definitely had the experiences I've had. The pharmaceutical companies have really emphasized patient care and an interest in the patient and wanting feedback from the patient, and that's something that I very much appreciate.
It has been, I think, for both of us, a learning curve that we talked about. But both of us understanding now that maybe that we didn't know before we moved into the research circles, the absolute vital importance of sound scientific research to advance our understanding. It is not always about swallowing a pill in a clinical research study. There's a lot of other ways people can get involved too, right? They can do a survey, or maybe just maybe there's some treatment and behavioral things that they could incorporate into research. So it does go beyond sometimes, I think, that we think is just relegated to new medications and new compounds, but research itself has a very broad reach, well beyond that, and it's been fascinating to have a much different perspective now than I did years ago, and I'm assuming that's the same for you.
Exactly, for sure.
Well, Marcia, you know, I think that redefining what an advocate is and finding that research is something that we can all get behind. And obviously, for the betterment of individuals who are living with symptoms, we need to have a continual push towards more research. And it really does start at that community level, changing the hearts and minds of those who are right in the neighborhoods and cities where you're doing your work, and where advocates community leaders are doing their work as well. And so I just I want to thank you for your time today. I appreciate your insight, having really sat on both sides of the fence, and of being an advocate and someone who is now working in research. And interchanging those two things are easy. We know that today you're still as big of an advocate as you were just 6 months ago when you were working in that official capacity. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much.
To learn more about Marsha's work and Pillar Research, go check them out on the web at www.pillarcr.com. That's pillarcr, as in clinical research, .com. They are doing some incredible work around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and get to know more about their mission and how they are really kind of building that bridge again between research and advocacy and the communities they serve. Well, again, we love to get together with thought leaders just like Marsha and pull from that experience and knowledge and discuss these topics which we know affect every single one of us. Be sure to follow the STAR Coalition on social media and go to our website often, as we are always updating great information that affects individuals living with CNS disorders at www.thestar.org, T-H-E-S-T-A-R-R.org. Thanks for joining us again today, and we'll see you soon.